Thank you. And thank you to all of you for joining us. We are now joined by William Byron, driver of the number 24 Exalta Chevrolet and the winner of today's Food City Showdown at the virtual Bristol Motor Speedway. William, congratulations. Tell us a little bit about those final laps.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I thought we had a pretty solid race. Obviously, there was a lot to, you know, kind of decipher through and try to get through. But I thought we stayed, you know, up close to the front. We had the one tire strategy call that got us back to the top five. And then we just had to work through the top five methodically after that. So was really proud of how we kind of did things, and thankful for Nick Onger, who kind of helps me on my esports team, and Exalta for letting us run this cool paint scheme. It looks awesome. Hopefully we can run it sometime in the real cup car. So I had a lot of fun.
Awesome. And thank you, William, for joining us today as well. In the interest of time, we ask for your cooperation to ensure that we can get as many questions in as possible from our media. So please hold your questions to a maximum of two at a given time, and we'll now open it up to questions from the media.
Amanda, thank you. And to our audience joining today, if you would like to ask a live question at this time, simply press star and one on your telephone keypad. I'm certain that most of you are familiar. Pressing star and one will place your line into a queue. And also a reminder that if you're joining us today on a speakerphone, please return to your handset prior to pressing star and one to be certain that your signal does reach our equipment. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star and one on your telephone keypad if you'd like to ask a live question. We'll hear first from the line of Claire Lang with Sirius XM NASCAR. Go ahead.
Yeah, William, congratulations on the win. I'd like to start with I'd like to start with the aggressiveness on the track and kind of an overview of the race that we saw. We were at Bristol. Congratulations on winning, but the cautions and the parking and the drivers being really aggressive. Did you expect all that, William?
Yeah, I kind of expected it a little bit, you know, considering what guys were you know, good and what guys were maybe not as experienced. And, you know, racing on there is the same, but you have to value, you know, it really comes down to how you value how you race others. And I treat it like I would how I race others the same way I would, you know, in the real car. And that's kind of what it takes to be good on there. So, you know, I think that you just saw some guys that weren't maybe as you know, experienced at it maybe in the back, but I'd say the top five or 10 guys really know what they're doing. And those were the guys I was worried about racing the whole time.
Frustrated were you last week after getting punted out of the way? And what does this win mean to you on the virtual side of things? And you've been so strong on the virtual racing and obviously a very good sim racer. What does it mean to you? And were you frustrated all during the week or no?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it's for fun. So I get that part of it. But, like I said, I treat it, for me, mentally, I try to treat it as a race when the race is going on. You know, after that, obviously, during the week, I wasn't worried about Texas. I got over it pretty quick. But, you know, I think that it was just frustrating because we hadn't closed one yet and we had led the most laps. So to finally close the deal this week was really awesome. And, you know, I think it just is cool to see the hard work kind of pay off from, obviously, myself, but the guys behind the scenes that are working with my esports team and stuff like that. So it's cool and it's great for Exalta and gives me some confidence. So I like that.
Nice job. Congratulations.
Thanks, Claire.
Our next question will come from The Athletic in the line of Jeff Gluck. Go ahead.
Hey, William. You know, it's interesting it's interesting seeing how this has sort of taken on a new intensity at times. I don't know if it's just Bristol or the fact that this has gone on a few weeks now, but, you know, you had Bubba Raid quit in the middle of it today and Larson and Suarez both getting booted. Is that something that is, I don't know, sort of easier to have happen in this virtual environment? Like if you ever rage quit something, or is it a sign of just the intensity of this picking up, or what do you attribute all that to?
Yeah, I think the easy excuse is to say, oh, you know, it's a game and all that. But I mean, at the end of the day, everyone's racing and seeing how much time some guys have put in, you know, I know that it means something to them. So I think that, you know, it's just, you got to race, it's racecraft. And I feel like, you know, racecraft is the same no matter what you're racing, whether it's on a computer or you know, at the dirt track or at an asphalt race, it's the same. So, you know, I think that's what I try to do, just stay patient, you know, really race the top seven or eight guys. Denny's really good on here. Timmy Hill is pretty good. And John Hunter Nemechek seems pretty fast. So just try to worry about those guys. But, yeah, obviously some of the guys further back were, you know, obviously causing some wrecks and stuff. So you just have to get through that and try to keep yourself clean through the race.
Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question will come from Lee Spencer at RacingBoys.com.
Thank you. Congratulations, William. Just had a quick question about, you know, a young guy like you that has time to practice, put the hours in. You know, it's kind of not surprising that you would get up to speed in a quick way. For guys like the Busch brothers, who this is their third race, how long is it going to take before we see those guys get more into the mix in the future?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Kyle was pretty fast this week. Busch, I thought he was, but in the practice races, you know, I did a couple on Friday, I guess it was, and Denny was really good, and Kyle was pretty fast too. So I think it's, you know, the people that have strengths at certain racetracks are going to show up, and ultimately it's just about kind of knowing the little nuances that are going to make you faster. And yeah, it's just, you know, it kind of, I wish we would have a little bit longer runs, because I think you would have seen the guys who really had it figured out. I think Kyle and Denny and some of those guys would have come to the front, but unfortunately it's kind of a short run race. But you know, really, I think those guys are starting to get it. Hopefully, you know, if I can give them some tips or whatever, then get them rolling with some of the little nuances here and there.
And just kind of curious, what are you doing to entertain yourself in addition to iRacing these days?
I mean, honestly, just kind of trying to have a somewhat normal routine. You know, I stay at home, obviously. I try not to be around a bunch of people, but my family's in town. My sister, she lives in New York, but she's been in town for a few weeks now. So I've been having fun with that, just kind of seeing my sister, and that's been great. So I feel fresh, and I feel like, you know, when we do go back racing, I'm excited for it, because I feel like, you know, I use iRacing just as kind of a mental training, and I feel like I'm excited for when we do go back, because we have fast cars there too.
Lee, thank you for your question. Next, we'll hear from Fox Sports and the line of Bob Pockrass.
Yeah, William, do you feel, I mean, I know you talk about being for fun and everything, but do you feel any more pressure to win these races because everybody knows your history and iRacing?
A little bit, yeah. I think that, like, the first week, you know, I feel like the most nervous, and I think everyone gets nervous when they iRace, just because you don't have the sound of the engine and some of those adrenaline things that actually kick the nervousness down in the real car. You know, so that is a little bit there, nervous for everybody, but I'd say so, yeah, just because, you know, people are like, oh, well, this, you know, this is your thing and all of that. So yeah, I think the first week that kind of showed, you know, I was a little bit over aggressive knowing who I was going to race. And then this week I just tried to be patient, and it worked out pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for your question, Bob. Next, we'll hear from Jacob Seelman over at Speed Sports.
Yeah, thank you. William, you mentioned Nick Ottinger, and I know he's been a big part of what you've done with establishing William Byron Esports. What kind of things were you leaning on him for and working with him on? And do you think anything that you guys are working on together will be able to translate for those guys when they go back and compete in the Coca-Cola Series?
Yeah, I think that, you know, those guys have helped me a lot. You know, John's a great sim racer too. And really I've kind of built that relationship with Nick, to learn from him. And, you know, he's a cool guy. I like the way he thinks. You know, honestly, the way he thinks is similar. We think similarly, I guess. So when I watch him drive, I feel like I'm watching somewhat of the same things that I would do. And obviously he's really good. So, yeah, I think that I just try to watch him on Tuesdays when they run the Coke Series, but, hopefully, I think he's like sixth or seventh in points right now. So he finished second in the first race. So hopefully he can get a win here soon.
And in regards to your race, if they'd had a late race caution, you had been getting away pretty good on the restarts. Were there any nerves if you'd had one more caution to worry about?
Yeah, we're just worried about the tires because I had been out there for 60 or 70 laps on the same tires. So I was a little worried that I didn't have a lot of tire left. So I just tried to keep saving till really the last two laps. But, I think the tire strategy worked out perfectly. We were able to pit there about halfway and cut the race in half, which is what we wanted to do. And a couple guys stayed out, but we were able to methodically work our way back to the top five from ninth, I think. So that was great.
Great, and thank you for your question. Next, we'll hear from Jim Utter at motorsport.com. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, William. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem. Just one question. You mentioned on your interview with the TV booth, and I think a few minutes ago, that when you generally iRacing these days, it's to learn or kind of improve your racecraft. And you talked about how different it is to be in a competition with a much different group of guys. Could you just explain a little bit the differences between what you normally experience when you decide to do iRacing and what the last three weekends have been like?
Well, I think that, you know, you're basically how iRacing works is there's a rating for each driver, and that goes from like 1,000 to basically 9,000. So I'm like a 6,300 rating. So I usually race with guys that are around that range or better. And so, you know, you'll have less cautions or you'll have more quality of like racecraft. And I feel like when you put our race together, it's a wide variety of experience levels. So I think that's just tough to kind of manage. But I try to use iRacing because it improves my racecraft. And I feel like we've been doing a good job of promoting it the right way. We just have to make sure that everyone understands that, you know, there's races that you can do on there. And I try to do those races and not just run laps of practice by myself. So the races that you can practice on kind of help improve my racecraft. And that's why I use it to try to help me on the real car.
And do you, you mentioned how you race people the way you want to be raced. Do you get to see that in the same sort of fashion during the iRacing as you do prep? And it maybe not the same way, but do you see some of the same traits that you would when you were racing someone on a real track?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, definitely the tracks that you can maybe move someone out of the way or bump them out of the way, are very similar. Last week, obviously getting moved out of the way, I learned something there and kind of applied that towards this week, got a little bit more aggressive with some of my moves, during the week and try to do that back to the guys. So that I can kind of establish position on them. So I think, yeah, really that stuff is the same. You just, it's just a matter of kind of understanding the little nuances that are obviously going to be different than a real car. You know, you don't have the sense of smell and noise and maybe feel, but you have vision, and your vision's really critical in there.
Thank you for your question today, Jim. Well, next we'll hear from Zach Sterniolo at the Pocono Record. Please go ahead.
So have the midweek practice races legitimately helped you get ready for Sunday's events? And so if so, in what ways?
I think so. I think that what really helps me a lot is the running they have these races. They're called APIX races and Class A, which is the cup car. So I run those. I probably ran a handful of them, probably less than 10 this week, but somewhere around that number. So they're very similar length of race to what we just ran. So I feel like those help me knowing the competition, knowing who's good and fast. And Denny Hamlin was honestly my biggest threat today, I feel like. So, I was kind of looking out for him and what he was doing through the week. So, I think those races are what helped me kind of get better.
And then how much did shifting to the single file restarts change the race for you, if at all? Do you feel like that was a benefit for you in the late restarts?
It was tough. I mean, I think that double file restarts, I think, would have been a similar result. You know, if you're the bottom lane guy, it's a little tough to get clear of the outside guy. So I would have had my hands full was second in some instances if I didn't get a good jump. But honestly, it just comes down to how good a restart you get. And, you know, I feel like the single file restarts kind of brought the strength of certain guys to the front. So I don't really know if it changed everything that much. It was just a little bit hard to time and try to figure out. It kind of was like running short track races.
Thank you for your question today. Next, we'll hear from NASCAR.com and the line of Chase Wilhelm.
Hey, William. Congrats on the win today.
Hey. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So what was going through your head there when you lost the lead for a bit with the various pit strategies and everything? Because obviously it was a new position for you than the rest of the race after leading the first 73 laps. And it looked like I know you had fresher tires, but it looked like once you were able to get a run on Smithley, you made pretty quick work of Bowman and Di Benedetto on the bottom on the lower lane, which isn't something we really saw today.
Yeah, it was, honestly, the biggest heart-stopping moment was when Landon Castle got spun or whatever, and he's come back up the track, and I had to kind of go to the bottom, and I was sideways for a bit. Luckily, nobody was on my bumper. I was able to save it. But, yeah, I'll probably look back at that moment as kind of the race-winning moment of missing that and then being able to kind of work my way through the field. I think I restarted ninth, and then Kurt Busch raced me really clean, and then Alex raced me pretty clean. And then once I got to like second, I knew that all I had to do was just manage my tires to make them overcome the older tires that I had in front of me. So I just kind of hung out for a while and let the busher, knowing that his tires are going to give up after 10 or 15 laps just because they're older. So, then we had a restart there and I was able to get by him and we ran side by side for a couple laps. So, he raced me good there too. So yeah, it was definitely things worked out to get back to the front. Luckily, we didn't have to ever really start in the back. I think the furthest back we were was ninth. So, luckily it worked out our pit strategy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Next, we'll hear a question from Barry Richmond at WAKG. Please go ahead, Barry. Oh, Barry, I apologize. That was my fault. I believe I may have released your line. Please go ahead and re-signal once again, sir, with star and one. We'll pull you right to the front. Thank you, Barry. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Yes, William. You know, as we seeing more of the virtual world and racing and the talents that are displayed, how much of a recruiting tool or a development tool do you see this in the entrance into actual real world racing?
Yeah, I think that for me, I used it obviously to get started in my racing career. And I feel like I did that because I saw guys like Dale Jr. promoting it. And, you know, if I were a young kid right now and I was 10 or 12 years old and didn't have the money to get into a real race car, or didn't know anybody that has a real race car, then I would definitely get into iRacing. You know, I was a race fan that would watch NASCAR on TV and would go iRace after the race was over to try to figure out what it's like to be those guys. So I'm really fortunate that now I'm able to run the real race cars, but, you know, I definitely never forget about iRacing, kind of what it taught me.
And the final question, the number of laps that you all are running, I've noticed from week one, it went from 100 to 125 last week. And then we had the heat races and the length of the race today. Do you think the number of laps is about right for driver attention span and viewer attention span?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be a little shorter. The heat races probably didn't really need those today. But, you know, I think that, honestly, it was good. I definitely would be a fan of, like, at Bristol there, you know, it's obviously a 50-lap heat race and then a 150-lap race. That's a long time. So if we ran maybe 50 laps in a heat race and then 80 laps in the race, that would be probably good too. So, yeah, I think it's just a factor of the fact that it's Bristol and it's going to be a shorter race if it goes green.
Thank you for your question, Barry. We'll hear next from NBC Sports and the line of Dustin Long. Please go ahead. Hello, Mr. Long. Are you there? Did you still have a question for today?
I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. A couple questions. So, William, can you just kind of take me through the emotions and how different they are this week from last week, and if it was even a case? You know, is this stuff so serious? How upset you got last week, and is it a case that you and Timmy actually had to talk or some?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the biggest difference is the time that it takes for your mind to recover from what happens. I mean, obviously, when the race is going, I think anybody would be dumb to tell you that they don't take it seriously because it's a race. But, you know, it took me probably an hour after the race to really cool off and realize that I was just racing on the computer and I could get over it. So, I mean, no, I didn't really think about Timmy all week. You know, he sent me a message on Twitter on Thursday and I was like, hey, it's all good. You know, now, granted, would I would have raced him the same if he had been in front of me? For sure, because I kind of know the tone that he set with that move. But I wasn't worried about it after, I guess, Sunday night around 7.
You're involved in the Coca-Cola Racing Series with your own team. You know, at some point, sports are going to come back. You guys are going to go back to racing. The focus is going to be what happens on the track. You're involved in the Coca-Cola Series, the iRacing team. How does this carry forward once sports return? Because obviously there'll be more focus on that. What do you guys do? How does that keep going and try to build this alternate audience?
Yeah, I think that, you know, what I like about this racing is that anybody can go do it. And I think that's similar to the appeal of golf, and, you know, really everyone can go play golf or everyone can iRace at their own level. So, like, that's what I want the appeal of this to be. I want it to be for kids, and I want people that want to see what we're doing on Sundays to be able to go on there and race. And then ultimately what the Coke Series should be about is that those guys are the best at it. And I feel confident that some of those guys would do well in a real car too. So I think that's, you know, understanding the skill level that they have. And that should hopefully bring an audience, and the relatability that it has, the fact that anyone can go and try it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for your question. We'll go next to Peter Strata with TSJ Sports. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
William, first of all, congrats on the big win. What were your thoughts on the restart going single file in the middle of the race, both last night and today?
Yeah, I think that it was kind of necessary just because of the wrecks that were going on. Bristol's a tough track, and I really think it just comes down to, you know, it takes some laps to kind of understand what's going on. So, yeah, it's a tough track. So I wasn't surprised.
And Mr. Strata, do you have a follow-up, or is that the only question you had today?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. We'll hear next from Seth Eggert with KickingTheTires.net.
Yes, William, you mentioned Nick Ottinger and John Gralinski. How much time did you spend practicing with them this week?
Yeah, they were pretty helpful. I mean, they've been helpful since this deal got going a couple weeks ago. So it's been good to work with them. I feel like I've learned, you know, obviously I've raced on iRacing, but I learned a lot about the little nuances that those guys do really well. So I feel like that's what they've helped me with, and I've definitely grown an appreciation for how good they are.
And how much of an advantage have they been compared to maybe some of the drivers who don't have the Coca-Cola Series drivers to lean on?
Yeah, I think really everyone's kind of found one of those guys to really reach out to. I know that Denny has a team and Austin Dillon has a team, and so all those guys really know what's going on. So that's the best resource that we all have, is to use those guys. So I feel like everyone's figured that out pretty recently.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question will come today from the phones and the line of Noah Lewis with TSG Sports.
Yeah, congrats again, William. You spoke about your SimCraft and mentioned earlier this week that Bristol wasn't your best track in Sim and in real life. can you just talk a bit more in depth about what you can take away from today's race that may help you at Bristol later this season?
Yeah, I think that honestly, in Bristol, you know, recently I've tried to work on the way that I drive the track, and I feel like the first time that I went there in the real car, everything from iRacing translated really well, and I did well. But then when I got into the Cup car, I was a little bit lost. So I worked on it a little bit this week, and I feel much better about it. So I'm kind of excited to go back there here soon.
All right. Thanks, William. Congrats again.
Mm-hmm.
And next, we will hear from Gavin Doe at Speedway Media. Please go ahead. Your line is open, Gavin.
All right. Thank you very much. Congratulations on the win, William. And here's a bit of a question when it came to the restarts. You know, wheel spin kind of is a big factor. What did you necessarily do to try and remedy that, especially when it came to double file and eventually the single file restarts?
Yeah, I think just working on them throughout the week to know what was going to happen and how it was going to feel. It really just comes down to having a clean launch. You know, you get wheel spin at the top of the gear in second gear. So I just tried to keep my launch smooth and get through the gears well. So all that stuff worked really well. So definitely excited about how the restarts were, and hopefully can carry that over to the next race that we have.
Yeah, another question here is, when it comes to Bristol, you know, in previous races, the addition of PJ1 has been added, you know, to the bottom line. But when we noticed throughout the iRacing race, you know, the Invitational, the outside line proved to be prevalent. Do you think that iRacing will eventually kind of add that patch of PJ1 so there's a little bit more traction on that inside line? Like, what are your expectations?
I think so. I think they'll learn that from this week. You know, I was able to run the middle and make that work pretty well. So we just worked really hard on being able to run the middle throughout this week. And I'm fortunate that paid off for us.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.